Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly, and you're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff, all the stuff that happened this week. And we're going to kind of focus on navigating the holidays.
Well, we're like 2 weeks out, 2.5 weeks out,
from
3 weeks, 2 weeks out from Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Which is almost like, I think, a lot longer periods of time are spent. And, yeah. You know, like, it's more of a holiday. I think it's a holiday that lots of, like, boyfriends or girlfriends or significant others will be introduced for the first time. And I know that's specifically happening with one person in this room or two. And so, like, that kind of – but the holidays are so tricky.
Well, it's like you walked up the hill all year long, and then you Thanksgiving comes, and you're, like, at the top of the hill, and you're about to, like, shoot down.
And it doesn't happen that you just – fueled your body with sugar over Halloween, does it?
Right. It's just like, it's like so many things happening like so fast. It's like Thanksgiving, it's holiday parties, it's client stuff, it's Christmas, Hanukkah, it's like New Year's. Everything is just like rolled into.
Yeah. There's so many expectations. There's so many emotions.
Yeah.
There's so much food.
Yeah.
It's and there's so much alcohol.
And booze.
Yeah.
And like no sleep.
Yeah, you're like going from one thing to the next. Even just like little things like, I forgot to bring something. Or I forgot to get a gift for so-and-so.
Yeah.
So navigate that stuff. But tell me a little bit about your week. You had like the beginning of CrossFit Total.
Oh, we retested. So we did, for the last 8 weeks, we just finished a training progression.
Okay, did I get the name right?
Yeah, it's called the CrossFit Total because they test your heaviest lifts in squat, press and deadlift, and you have to do it all in an hour. So you have 3 attempts at each lift, and you want to get as much volume as you can. So your total number is like the total amount of weight that you lifted at all 3 of those added together.
Wow, so how'd you do?
I did good. I went up 35 pounds in 8 weeks, which is really exciting.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I feel I'm happy about that. But the maxes I hit weren't my overall maxes, like competition maxes, they're off by about 10 pounds for that. But that's okay because in competition, you have like a lot of time in between what you do.
Mm.
And in this, you literally had to warm up and complete 3 attempts at each lift in an hour. So it's very compact.
Wow.
And so you don't want to...
Wow, yeah. And your body like does...
Yeah, you don't want to use up all your energy. Mm-hmm. So I feel good. I posted a video on my blog, and then posted some video from last night on Instagram too. So it's kind of fun.
Awesome.
I like lifting heavy shit.
Congratulations.
Nice. You're feeling good.
I am feeling really good. I've had a few days in a row. Last week, I kind of told the world about what's been going on with me.
I know. I saw it.
And I didn't do that because, you know, you always have to deal with like the ins and outs of telling a lot of people.
Yeah.
When something's wrong or when something's right.
Yeah.
Right. And I just wasn't ready for that until last week. And then it was just a coincidence that we changed the medication I'm on a little bit, which is like a neuro.
And this is for your, just in case anybody.
Yeah. Just like I have this ongoing pain, which we talked about on the show a number of times on the right side of my body, mostly in my head, neck, jaw, and ear.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing a physical therapist 12 weeks ago. That has completely helped. It's unlocking this. She calls it unpeeling the onion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started seeing a neurologist about 6 weeks ago now and started on like a sort of like an anticonvulsant, like one of the original like anti, it's like a neuro, it dulls the nervous system.
Yeah.
So it actually, as I do PT and I'm like more upright and this vice grip sort of releases, my nerves will like retrain.
That's so crazy.
And
the body
into
is
not
so crazy.
Feeling pain. And I know it's so crazy. And so it's not a permanent thing that I'm on, but when I went on them, I didn't even ask. Is this like short term? Is it long term?
Just give it to me.
Because I had this huge list of things that were wrong. And she's like, okay, let's see if this works. And it did work. And then we adjusted it a little bit. So now I'm sort of in this pocket where PT is helping. And we have come 3, 4, 5 steps up on that.
That's awesome.
And then this is helping to make space to go even further because I'm not in pain all the time. you know, because pain is just like this, you know, terrible thing. And until you're in chronic pain, you have no idea what it's like to be in chronic pain. Unless you've had like I'd say if you had a significant depression, you sort of know what it's like to have chronic pain, which I have. So that's why I can be that I've gone through both. So I can say like, if you've had that, you might know kind of the cloudiness and the like stop making correct or proper decisions.
Well, it's funny you say that because like there was like a week ago or something we talked about. Oh, what was it? Yeah, it was like, we had a person that we had talked about and you were like, oh, I didn't know that about that person. And I was like, yeah, I told you like weeks and weeks ago. And you were like, I have no recollection on that whatsoever.
And so I did.
That is fascinating because that's so not you.
Yeah. So it was specifically in that, like, it was like a couple of months in there where I went through like, I mean, I went gone through a significant depression after I had kids, like a real long term.
Yeah.
But I went through a period depression inside of this, and I had memory loss, and I also had some instances of replacing words.
Yeah.
And that's what actually got me to the neurologist. Because I was like, that's not normal for me to say like the word California instead of the word swim. I mean, it was
weird.
So there was something like so wrong and bad that it was sending wrong messages. So
that's crazy.
But I'm thinking really clearly now. I'm taking really good care of myself. Like the first thought when I wake up is I caring for myself. Like it's not work. It's not the kids. It's how will I be better today than I was yesterday. And that is a huge shift. And that's like, I want that.
Especially as a mom. Yeah. I mean, but you're going to be a way better mom if you put yourself.
Yeah. It's just not that.
Pour yourself a like martini first, right now. Then take care of the kids, you know, self-care.
You do have to take care of yourself first. Yeah. So anyway, that's all to say I'm like 3 or 4 days in with feeling like little or no pain.
That's amazing. And especially like right now, this time of year too, because I feel like there is no break. You know, it's like just come January, you get a little bit of a break. You know, it's like the deep heart of the winter and everyone hibernates January, February.
The first week of November, you're like, oh, well, there's all my weekends in December.
Right. Gone.
And it doesn't matter even if there are things that you love to do. There's just less downtime.
I always wake up in the morning and think about when the next time I can go to bed is.
Good. That's good. That's self-care.
In like January.
I love it. In January. Yeah.
Sleep when you're dead.
So,
but I mean, like, I'm glad that you're gearing up and you're feeling better because as we roll into this crazy time of year, like, that would be a really terrible time.
Oh, my God.
And I know you're going through this then because I remember this is kind of when it hit. And,
everything is just working together now so well to keep progressing. And there's no other choice for me. Like, I cannot go back to that. Like, I would rather die than go back.
Totally. And well, so I mean, I don't want you to.
Those are just, that's just a good domino effect.
Yeah.
So we have talked about the holidays before, but we've never really gone into talking specifically about navigating them with significant others.
Or divorce.
Navigating, in my case, with a divorce or a separation even.
Yeah.
And then navigating with children and their expectations. And I just saw a tidbit on the so sometimes I watch the Today Show because it's sort of like reading an Us Weekly on a plane for me.
My God, that is so perfect. That is just so, like, it's so like decompressing. Cheap and
it's light.
Mindless.
They never go
no deep. It's all in. Fluff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not watching before like 9. I think the earlier hours are kind of like the harder hitting news hours, even though I don't think it gets that hard. But so I watch like after 9, it's like Today's Take with, you know, like Tamron Hall and Willie Geis. And so I watch that and it seriously is like, so I'd watch it during PT when I'm doing my PT in the morning at home, which is like I'm doing PT for like 2 hours a day. So it's sort of a good time to, you know,
do you watch the fourth hour with Kathy Lee and Hoda?
I try to. It's okay. Just delicious. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, Blake Shelton is on like every other day. What is up with that?
Oh my God, I hate that show so much.
Oh my God.
The Voice. I hate it. Oh. I hate it.
Oh, you do?
Yes. It's just so like
I love it.
Trait. And
Yeah. So anyway, I heard a tidbit on there because they do talk about parenting quite a bit and like kids' issues and other things. I think they're, you know, she was married once, Kathy Lee. So anyway.
Wait, Kathy Lee was married, I think. Well, she was married a few She's married to Frank Gifford, who just died not that long ago.
Oh, that's right.
And then she was like on the show, like.
But they do talk about family stuff. Yeah. That's a regular segment.
Yeah.
So they said like the things that the three things that kids like really remember about growing up or
holidays.
Especially growing up holidays was like, you know, creating like similar or same traditions. And then how much like you were just like around.
Mm.
So like that just like present, like looking at them. And then how often you made them feel safe. And it wasn't, it had to be more like a little bit broader, but like just the idea of like when you're home, like what were the three things that you remember the most? And I was like, that's
is
like
that what you remember?
Fantastic. I do remember like the time was a big thing for me. Like the more time they spent with me, like the more, the better I felt about myself, the better I felt about how our family worked and my place in it. That's what I do remember that. And I, you know, my parents, my mom stayed home for a couple of years, but she had to work. And so, you know, there was a lot of times where I would come home and be alone, and I'm not very good at that. Like, I'm better at it now. I'm great at it now. But, you know, like that idea that, you know, that people being there for you really does build a foundation. Yeah. So, and it doesn't matter, you know, it's just a consistency thing.
I remember my dad would bring like Almond Joy candy bars home from work. I remember that.
Really? Aw.
From the vending machine. Not all the time. And then I remember one time he came to the park with us, and that was like a very big day that he came.
Dad came to the park.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't really remember. Like, yeah. I don't. Yeah.
It's hard. Like, they say you don't really remember things outside of school until you're like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're just like scrambling until you graduate, essentially. So I have the experience of being divorced now, and then like we have a divorce decree that allows us to, you know, like look back on that to tell us like what
who has what holidays
and yeah. So we just like we do every other holiday, and then like Christmas is always the same, like New Year's or Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, always the same every year.
So what do you do for Christmas?
It's the boy's dad has them on Christmas Eve, which is always when his family celebrated, and I have them Christmas Eve.
Oh, good. Like,
later until, and then on Christmas Day, that's when we always celebrate it at my parents or my house. So it works out really well. There's some, you know, like years where you're like, oh, well maybe, you know, this is the year we could change it up. And then I think back to that, like I know how important tradition is. And it was before Kathy Lee and Hoda that I knew that. But like, all I want to do is create like similar tradition experiences. When I decided to leave and looked back, I was like, I just read and researched and self-taught so much about like what the best case scenario was. And I started to create these like tiny, like cheap traditions because I had no money to spare. Like not expensive traditions or not like going out or anything, but just like every Wednesday, Nana and Baba come. Every Friday we have pizza and movies.
Yep.
Every this, you know, we do this. So it's like those just like mini traditions. Yeah, the small things. So I try and do that around the holidays too, because holidays have such an imprint on your memory, and they could either be awful or amazing, right? And then they shift over the years. Mm-hmm. But for the first, you know, when we were separated, the boy's dad had just died. And not the boy's dad. Oh, my God. Grandfather. Forgive me. The boy's dad, you know, Joel's dad had died. And so the first 2 years we were separated, I let him take the kids for all holidays. Because he has no siblings, and it was just his mom and him. And like, that's, it's just so joyless.
Quiet.
And so I just released that. And I have my family, my brother and my sister, my parents are both here.
Yeah.
We always had stragglers growing up. Like we always had like
people like
didn't
me
have places to go. And that was like completely a part. It did not feel like a interruption. It's completely a part of our Christmas. We had extra people to talk to. It often diffused like little things that were going on. It was great. So like, I just thought I'm okay. I feel okay. I've been in this place for a long time. Like they're doing their first Christmas with their, you know, her husband and his dad gone. So I just did that. Like
that's,
I was
really
like,
awesome of you.
Release. It just felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of nice, you know, after sobbing for a while. And then you're like, nobody calls you on Thanksgiving. Like, nobody
suddenly you just have a
sends
day
you email. Yeah. Like, no, it's like you're living in the Truman Show, you know, when the sets go down or whatever, you know? So then I thought, this is sort of awesome because all you're doing is, you know, you're scattering all the time when you're leaving or separating. Doesn't matter how much stuff you have, all your traditions and routine are gone. So
yeah,
that was how I spent the first 2 years of our separation. And then when we went to write the decree, I was like, well, I felt like I had a little bit to, I could ask for exactly what I wanted because I had sort of given that up. And that's not why I did it, mm-hmm. but I felt like I had a little more power yeah. to ask for what I wanted. So, and honestly, Thanksgiving and Easter aren't really like,
They're not your big ones.
We'll do something, but Christmas is like, you know, like we put cookies out for Santa and milk and like we turn the lights way down and we sing Christmas carols and we put them to bed and
cute.
And then we wake up in the morning. Like that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And I want that to be what they remembered. I don't want them to be like, well, that year we were at Papa's on Christmas morning. And
yeah,
like for me, the narrative is we spent Christmas with our mom and we spent Christmas Eve with our dad. Like that's what I wanted to create for them. So anyway, I've been talking forever. Forgive me. Tired of my voice.
No, that's it. But that, you have. I love listening to you talk because you just have such good things to say. Like it, that make a ton of sense. Like nice. Mine is like I don't.
Well, it was a big like flipping mess while it was going on. But yeah. You know, like you think things do. You know, think of that like you know the anthropologist like. Thing
yeah
where you're like the stuff that matters comes up on top yeah. and then the rest the sifter. Is kind of yeah. yeah the sifter yeah so
oh my god
so you have I'm, kind of yeah. a flip side thing going on where you're introducing your boyfriend to your family yeah. for the first time over the holidays
who's here
who happens to be in studio with us
so hello welcome, everybody
Corey. Welcome
sound
Corey
really
Martin.
Cool for our three yeah. listeners
Hi, I'll try to be as cool as possible.
No, yeah, you don't say anything. Great. Yeah, you're doing
great. You've acknowledged me and I feel like I can talk now. I was just sitting here awkwardly.
You've been so obedient and it's been great.
I've taught him well.
You have. Good
job.
If
there's one thing I'm good at, it's sitting and listening.
And being quiet.
So you told me a few weeks ago that this is what, or last week when we were met on your birthday, that this is kind of what's going to go down and that you would talk through it a bit, but also just like kind of what kind of jumped in feet first.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, a couple things. So I haven't been to a family holiday in 5 years. So this
it's been
is
been that long.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the first one I'm going to roll into town for. And I, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So no pressure, Corey. No, the thing is this. I had to go through a lot of my own stuff with my family in order to get to a place where I wanted to even... I would even consider something like this.
Good job.
So this is a huge step. And when I tell my therapist, she's going to be like, what? She's going to like pop open the champagne. I feel it. But I also, this is kind of twofold. So I have a very dear friend and her family who I've known since I was 14, which is, if you do the math, that's how many years?
Half your life.
30,
more than half
22
your
years.
Yeah.
It sounds more epic when you talk about it in percentages and fractions.
It's. 2/3 of my life, I think.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And so she's married and has 2 kids that I love. And so whenever I go to Milwaukee, that I stay with them and they're my family. And even her family is also my family.
And their kids are adorable.
Yeah, their kids are adorable. I love them very much. And they say they're the ones I think I told you about where they're like, I think Jen Shaw knows like every single swear word. Like that's those kids. Amazing. Yeah, I love them. And
that's
so,
like the epic aunt.
Seriously, yeah. Like when they get old and like I'll be like, I've known you your whole life. They're gonna be like, you were the coolest. And yeah, I do cool shit. But so she invited me and us to come down. And the thing is I can't, and if for any other time, I could just go there and not see my family and it wouldn't be weird. But because it's this particular weekend, I also feel obligated. Like I always let my parents know I'm coming to town. Maybe we'll have like dinner or something, but it's very structured. It's like, I'm available from this time and that's it. Right.
Right.
And then I am free to go. So this Thanksgiving situation is like, I can't be there and not like, I don't feel right. Not also bless you saying like stopping in. Okay. But also no, yes. Like I haven't had a face-to-face conversation with my brother who is hosting in 5 years. And I take that back. 3 years. I saw him at a wedding 3 years ago and we talked face to face a little bit there. So I did get a text from him like inviting me, and I get one every year because he knows this is the only way I'll respond to him is via text and like email and stuff, because he's a gaslighter, which I just read an article about today, and I was like, oh my God, this is why, like, this is it exactly. So I can't talk to him because there doesn't go anywhere. Right. So that's why that's all this. So Corey, when I was like, we're invited to go to Milwaukee, but like, we also have to kind of pop in and see these people who are my blood relatives. Also, you know, most of this stuff that's kind of gone on.
Yeah, you tricked me into it first by telling me it was just your friends. And then that's kind of a rider.
I didn't trick you into it.
Here's these people that I am very close to or blood related to that I haven't talked to in 5 years. So,
well, I talked to my parents. I mean, it's not like I don't. I mean, I saw my parents in August. I saw them in June, but we're not close.
But some of it is that, like, kind of like, you know, filling people in on the back.
Yeah, you got to let, I had to let you know all of that kind of stuff. And like, I mean, I don't think you should be freaked out to like go there, because when you meet them, you're probably going to be like, these people are amazing, I love them, they're so fun and great. Yeah. And I'm gonna be like, you don't know.
Yeah, because you have all this like years baggage. And years and years. Yes. And years. Yes. Of stuff. Yes. Yes. And so he's
they're great people
them. Well, and that can actually be really healing.
Yeah,
like if your parents are kind and you know, he finds common connection with them, that can be healing for you.
Yeah.
That is how it actually happened in our family, for sure. Like, in my family, like, there wasn't a ton of stuff, but there was some stuff. And it's like, when I see Kyle, like, laughing with my sister or, bonding with my dad or something, it really has helped me to see that, by and large, it's okay, even though it has its tricky nuances, you know?
Nervous?
No, not so much. I think I'll probably bond with your dad and realize that you're just drawn towards emotionally unavailable men. Or something like that. This is a
man who cries in public.
We all marry our dads, right?
You know what I was
saying? I have much more hair, though, so I got that going.
On the top.
So for people who haven't met Corey, he looks like Huck from Scandal.
Is that a good thing? I've seen Scandal once, and it was too scandalous.
He's like the hottest man on television right now, as far as I'm concerned.
You're feeding his ego, you know. I'm going to have to deal with
well,
that.
Well, it's later. Very personal. I have a pretty specific taste. But and everybody knows who Huck from Scandal is, so that's a really good...
I've never watched Scandal in my life.
Yeah, but everyone, it's the Grey's Anatomy of 2015, get up on it.
I'm going to have to catch up there pretty soon.
It's worth it just for her clothes and bags.
But
it's,
I mean, like, awesome. So I think about... When we go there, we walk in, like, this is what I think. I want you to, like, be on my team. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're like a united front, like, walking into this situation.
That is incredibly important.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
As far as against what? Are we going to be attacked
by
somebody?
No. I don't mean it like that. But I mean, like whatever I do, which, okay, like, not the crazy stuff, but, like, the normal stuff. Like, I want you to be there, like... It's like, you got my back. Nothing's gonna happen. I'm just saying, it's like, you're on my team. Like, I don't know how to say that better. You're more eloquent. You know what I mean, though.
I do. The idea that if, you know, the smallest thing or the biggest thing were to come up, you would have your back, and you would like stand, like, say, like, oh yeah, you know, I do agree with Jen in this, or like in. I remember
it's like a partnership.
It is it's like a partnership, and just deciding that you're going in as a team and not as like
two people.
May or may not like make you look like a fool or humiliate you or like side with your parents or something like that. Like, there is this idea that when you're a couple that you have already decided that you're on the same team, but then when you mix in other people that know you better, it can cause like vulnerabilities. Yeah. And so that can break down a little bit.
That's exactly what I meant.
This is good you're telling me this, because I have a tendency to tell people what they want to hear to avoid conflict and that kind of stuff. So I'm glad you're telling me this ahead of time.
As little as like touching her leg in a tense moment or putting your arm on her back. It can be like as small as that. But I remember like saying this out loud to the boy's dad like multiple times. And this is one of the reasons that we're divorced, is that I always felt like he was my competitor. And what I really need in my life, it turns out, is someone who is just like, I got you.
Yep.
And that may not be the case for some people. Like maybe some marriages thrive in, or some partnerships or boyfriend, girlfriends, relationships thrive in like in competition, yep. But that's not what I need. And that's not how I thrive. So, you know, it was just like knowing myself well enough to be like, this is not what I need. And it's digging me a ditch and it makes me feel really lonely. And like, I just need somebody on my team. And
thank you for just like saying everything that I was like, you know what I mean?
It's super complicated. Yeah, it's so complicated. And it's such a funny thing to be like, I just need to know you're on my team, especially when I'm vulnerable.
And I will, because like the friends that I have, and this is a long time ago, but like friends that I have that have come with me there, and this, you know, I've had years of therapy since, but they're like, when you go there, like you shut down. Like it's like you're not vibrant and you're not like loud and opinionated. Like I totally shut down because I don't want to deal with like,
you have
drama.
A new persona and a new name and
no, all but that I mean, I've like witness had to protection. Do a ton of work, and now like their shit doesn't bother me like it used to. You know, like I feel strong in who I am.
Yeah,
and that's the only reason why I feel like I can go there. And you may not even like see any of this happening, but like it's there. Like when I am around these people, like I automatically feel like a 12-year-old, and I'm like a 38-year-old. Successful,
it's like a program.
Woman.
App on your computer that's constantly running in the background.
Yes.
You don't have the app.
Right.
It's on Jen's home screen.
Yep. That's like exactly it's constantly it. And like, running. And there's just like triggers of things. And like, I don't want to act like that. You know, like that's not the goal. I have no interest in, and I don't think that I will, but like that's, it's like I know that I'll constantly have to be sort of like trying to make that quiet.
Yeah, it's just it's a really fine balance, and it's really a tricky thing, and not a lot of people even have the self-awareness to have said this up beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, right. Because you go that's there and then you're like, good. "Oh shit, like we've been so nervous about this or just have a busy month or packing and getting ready to go, and 5 years out, you're going back, like that's the thing in
itself."
And
we're bringing Logan.
Yay. And you get there, actually I feel like that might be like a great.
Oh my God. Diffuser. Totally. Logan is Corey's son.
If and things get weird, we just make Logan do cute things.
We just pinch him and he starts crying and we have to leave. I'm kidding. That's a terrible thing I just said.
It can be like.
Your face.
Oh and because God. He's so young, like I feel like it's, you know, it's only going to be like.
Logan's three. Yeah.
Loving and healing and wonderful. Like I know that, you know, 3 year olds can be challenges, but a lot of times like your parents won't see that. Like your parents will just be like. They haven't had a 3-year-old around, you know.
Yeah, and my nephew is 5, so that'll be fun.
I was going to say, it's so like flipping like a coin which Logan is going to show up if he decides to be a little butthole or if he decides to be cute and run around and let everybody pinch
tell
his
me that
cheeks.
He loves
and,
me.
Oh, that's hard. Yeah, yeah. But either way, there'll be love.
Yeah,
he's for cute. Him. Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's and tricky. Then my dog, too. So it's like the whole... It's like a minivan.
We talked about that being a sitcom on the last show or your tales, but this does actually sound like one.
Yeah, it's.
I would watch.
I mean, so you're not like freaked out at all. I would be terrified if I were. And I'm not saying that you should be, but I'm saying if I were in the same situation, but in your role, like I would be like, what?
No, we're going to the city of beer, and I learned how to self-medicate a long time ago.
Okay, but you can't get drunk at this because, like, that is going to be
how about
a bad
light buzz?
Impression.
I was going to say, not even a little bit.
But
I mean, is it like
think about it. It's your son that will be there.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, we have to drive somewhere after to get home. And this is the first time you're meeting all these people. Right.
Yeah, I want a beer or two, though.
You can have a beer or two, but I don't want you to get drunk because then I'm gonna have to like deal with that. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about getting drunk and taking my shirt off and putting a lampshade on my head, but I'll have a Miller or two.
And... Miller. Yeah,
oh
I will too. But I'm just saying, I don't want. I hope neither one of us gets. I won't get drunk. I know that.
Yeah. No, there is something about being in control in those situations,
especially with your kid, too.
Well, no, I just kind of tend to clam up a little bit in those situations. So, I mean,
I know I'm making you talk about it right now. I can tell.
As I sit here with my arms crossed, yeah, and
the body language is like, I don't want to.
On fire.
You're gonna, resting bitch face body language. It's,
that's the story of my life. That's why we get along so well.
So, no, the awareness going into it is, I think, it's half of it. Yeah. I really do.
Like, I know. I let you in on all the deep, dark stuff. Like,
that's good. There's no, like, there's none of that, like, why are you acting so weird when you arrive? Like, yeah, you can have some time to think about that before you get there. And Jen's just telling you, it doesn't, like, you know, that she needs that. And that's like,
welcome
a really
to our cool mediation to session know. With Kate O'Reilly. Jen is just telling you that. No, this well, is good. This is why I think it's cool to talk about, because we've not had this conversation.
Well, and I thought it was a flaw. I thought it was like a flaw that I needed, that I wanted to be on the same team as someone. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it came off as to me, like in my old sort of thought process, mm-hmm, is like, I wanted someone to be on my team, and I felt like, I was made to feel like immature, and like that was a flawed part of me. But it really, it's like, no. I just had a preference.
Also, it's companionship.
I agree. And I don't think that it works for everybody, but it's just, you only know what you need. Yeah. And like you're saying, I need to feel like you're on my team, because when I'm there, I feel like I have no team.
Oh, I don't. I definitely don't.
So let's not even go if we're not a team.
Right. And guess what? I'm not making you roll into the Shaw family Christmas party, which happens every Friday or Saturday night of Thanksgiving. We are not doing that. So I could really make you suffer and make you roll into that. And
is
I'm
that
not.
Like the extended family?
Yeah. Oh. It's like all, okay. Oh. It's like all the great aunts who are, well, most of them are dead now, but like in their 80s, you know, late 80s.
So and it's like, a haunting.
Yep. And my brother is the only... My brother was the only person in our whole entire extended family to carry on the family name. So it's a Shaw side. And so nobody else had boys, or like everyone had married off. And
wow.
So he was like the golden child our whole lives. And like up until he had his son, like we would walk in, like people would talk to us. And then like it was like the Red Sea parted, and my brother would walk in, and like everyone would just like bow down, because he was like the only one to like carry on this legacy. And now that they have Vinny, you know, it's kind of...
Is that still a thing?
Still a thing for 80-something-year-old people. Yeah. These are also the people who were like, Vinny's adopted, and when...
I was just going to ask about that. Does it get a little weird that he's not actually...
The bloodline, the Shaw no. blood? I think it's just...
It's no. more the name than yeah,
the legacy.
The Shaw good looks.
Because he is the... Yeah, he is our family. But he... The great aunts are so old. Like, they were like, oh... So, you know, when you'll find a baby that you like to adopt, because in the 60s, what they would do is they'd bring out one child and you'd be like, no, I don't like that one. And then they'd bring out another child. That's not how it works now. It's like, here's a child. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. Like, a baby for us. Like, you don't get to decide if that one is like, passes your test.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So, yeah, they're old, weird.
You don't get to put them on a leash and take them on a little walk.
You can do that, but like they're just old school. And I mean, you know, these people still to this day, I think even the last time I was there 6 years ago or something, they're like, oh, how's college? And I was like, what? I'm like almost 40, you know, like granted, it didn't take me a long time to graduate, but they didn't know that. They thought I, you know, according to them, I graduated and 2000. They just don't have a good grasp on reality and life and stuff. And
well, they just have their own.
And my hobby is comedy. Is yeah, like they make you feel small. They like, make you feel small.
Like little bits and pieces. Like yeah. Clips. What was that show? The Clips and Picks that you did?
Clips
or
and Bits.
Clips and Bits. Like other people's life. Your life to other people is clips and bits.
Yeah.
Your life to yourself is this like...
Yes, it's
true. In and outs every day, all the stuff, all the struggles, yeah. The bad, the, you know, the good and the bad. And then, but to other people, clips like your life is just yeah. that, except for like your, you know, close friends. Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't even have the privilege of probably seeing you on Facebook, I'm guessing, if they're that old, to even know like
some,
the general,
yeah. I
just
mean,
what's going on in
do,
your life.
And they'll be like, you post a lot of stuff. I was like, you know what? Fuck off. yeah.
I'd say I'm a big deal in Minneapolis.
My dad thinks that. What does he call it? He calls Facebook the computer. Are you going to go put that on the computer?
Oh.
He doesn't make the connection that it's a separate, like Facebook on the internet on the computer. He
I thought that was a philosophical meta-analysis.
He refers to everything on this machine as the computer. Go put that on a computer. Anyway,
just yeah. put it on.
Yeah, he goes, I saw something that you wrote on the computer.
Oh, I love your dad.
If your dad doesn't talk like that, God. I'm going to be really disappointed now.
The other day, he was asking about you.
Can I come?
He asked about you, Corey, the other day. I talked to him on my birthday briefly. Aww. And he goes, oh, what's he do? Oh, he teaches. What does he teach? Sociology. Oh, sociology. I go, did you just say sociology? He goes, yeah, sorry, I had a couple beers.
Sociology.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
I like him too.
You've met him, Kate?
I haven't.
No, uh-huh. He hasn't been up here for 5 years. Not that I'm counting.
I've seen pictures of when you did a show when they came.
Oh, and my extensions too, when you wore my extensions.
Or the video of him trying to tape the president.
Oh my God. He had a flip phone when President Obama we were at a wedding and Obama was in Milwaukee.
Oh,
and he had a flip phone and he was like, he has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, like industrial glasses, because no fashion sense. And he has a flip phone. He goes, it just says, press the video. Okay. And then.
he's actually in his wedding attire, too.
Suit? We were at a wedding. Yeah. Awesome. And he never got the video because I was like, I don't think that's how it works. But anyway, we don't have to talk about my family. But yeah.
Video flip phone.
So when you, do you remember the first time you went to meet families? Was it weird? Was it good?
You know. It wasn't on a holiday.
Yeah. So no, the pressure was different.
It was actually at a funeral.
Oh.
And so it was really, really like it was totally fine, but it was just like the worst, you know, time. But they were all very loving and very, you know, they were happy to meet me. And Kyle hadn't had a girlfriend in a while, like that he would have brought home. Yeah. So. But that was, it was like, I couldn't not go.
Right.
It was his dad
that
died. And so there was no way I wasn't going to go. But then I, you know, immediately like 10 seconds later realized that I was going to meet his family for the first time at his dad's funeral. And like, if you were to include that in a book, it would be a highlight.
Yeah.
Like it was like in a novel or something, like that is like a classic moment. It's like describing how your mom's purse smelled, or your mom, the Kleenex out of your mom's purse smelled like growing up.
Oh my God, that is such a, like, I can, universal. Like pennies. It smells like pennies.
Yeah. My mom smelled like vellum mints and Shalimar.
Yeah.
How far into the relationship were you two when this happened then? Was it?
Like a few months. Yeah. Like a few months. So then like the idea
how
of
how far
like,
are we into this relationship?
Depends on
I know.
What you mean by relationship and some
philosophical
questions.
We didn't really have that. Like, we just started seeing each other and then just called it a thing right away. Like, it wasn't, like, when you're older, it just isn't, like, there's not those milestones of, like.
Yeah, but we met, like, a few months before.
So I've known you, like, 6 months.
What? It's, like, my whole life.
Since July 5th, 2015.
Okay.
Somebody else can do the math.
Corey.
He journaled about it.
Sweet.
It was the day after I saw the best band ever. So
yeah, it has nothing to do with me.
Oh, it's just a milestone for him. They
I'm
have like,
kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
It's all
I'm kidding.
Different.
I'm kidding.
So,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, we actually went to a wedding together the night before, the first wedding we had. So I met a bunch of his friends, and then he got the call that his dad died that next morning. So we were actually together, which was good, but it just like escalated, you know, into meeting his family. Two weeks later. So,
well, this is like a weird thing, but I think it's a funny story that I should tell you.
Please do.
My grandma died in 2004 and in October, and she was cremated, and we had her buried. Like, we had her ashes that we then buried on Mother's Day, like the following spring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh.
And it was like a thing. Like, everybody came from everywhere. We had like this big family weekend and stuff. And this is kind of all before the shit. Once my grandma died, like shit in our family just like hit the fan like so quickly. So things are still pretty okay.
That'll
at this
happen.
Point. Yeah. And I was dating this guy not that long. It was maybe like, I don't know, a couple, 6 weeks or something. And I told him that I was driving to Milwaukee. And this, how many years ago is that? 12 years ago? 2004. Mm-hmm. Is it?
No, 11.
11, but
thanks,
nobody's
sorry,
calling.
Art major. So I'm 38. I was 26 at the time. And he goes, I'm not really comfortable with you driving by yourself that far. And I was like, yo, welcome to my life. I've done this drive like 8,000 times. Like, you're going to be fine. Calm down. But he really wouldn't stop pestering me about it. So I was like, he was like, I think I should come with you. And I knew that this was like a big family weekend. Like, this was going to be like some stuff happening. And I was like, I don't think that's such a good idea.
Yeah. Well,
for one, I didn't really like this guy. So there's that part of it. He was kind of obnoxious. And but for whatever reason, I was like, okay. So he came to Milwaukee with me. I also had a job interview in Milwaukee. So it was like, I got there. My parents were there. I had to drop him off, change into a suit, like make myself presentable, go to this job interview, like leave him with my mom and dad, be like, hi, bye, do this thing, come back. Then it was like,
that's a lot.
The next
stuff.
Day was burying my grandma's ashes. And then we were like going to a Brewers game, like drinking. We shotgun beers in my grandma's front yard, like insane stuff.
The
right?
whole Milwaukee experience yeah. is what yeah. that's called.
My cousins and I, my dad took pictures. It was ridiculous. But so he, at okay, so when we were burying my grandma's ashes, my dad started crying. And my dad is like, I've seen a dad cry like 3 times in my life. Mm-hmm. And so like I started crying, which then people who know me are like, I've seen you cry like 3 times in your life. I'm like, yeah, it's changed since then. But like,
yeah,
that triggered me. And then Dan tried to like, I know this is going to sound really callous and I don't mean for it to, but it just was like the timing. I was like, why are you here? Like, he tried to comfort me in that moment. And I was like, nope, this isn't, I don't, this is like a me thing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. And also it really irritated me because my mom had one of my cousins was not there. And my mom said to Dan, she goes, since Jeffrey, Jennifer's cousin isn't here, why don't you take this rose and put it on Mildred's grave? And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, thank you. Your reaction to that was like really exactly how I felt. Like,
yeah.
It was very jarring. And I was like, you're not a part of this. Like, this isn't, you're just like a peripheral person here that's like, you know, here to like along for the ride. But like, this isn't about you, you know?
Oh boy.
And like,
that's complicated.
Yeah.
And your mom was with him in that moment.
Yes.
Which is weird.
And it got really annoying. Like, his, yeah. he just like jumped in too quickly, too fast. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when you start a new job, right? And you roll up to the first day of work and you have to like survey the landscape before you fully plug in.
Do a couple of
you
laps.
Can't, yeah, you can't like unleash everything on everyone right away. Mm-hmm. You have to like see the dynamic, or at least I do. I mean, I hope other people want to do that too, but you have to like survey what's happening in front of you and then figure out, okay, I see these people for what's happening here. This is how it can plug into this and make everybody still feel comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's so smart.
He did not do that.
He just is like, yeah, minus those cues.
Whew.
And apparently so was your mom.
Yep, I broke up with him like the day we got back. I was like, this isn't...
Yeah.
And this would be a better story if you broke up with him and left him in Milwaukee.
Well, actually, you know what? My mom goes, I was so annoyed with him. Like, the day we were leaving to drive home, I was like beside myself annoyed. Because I was like, holy fuck, now we have 5 hours of just the two of us. Like, there's no one else to like diffuse this. And my mom goes, I remember at the time I was still smoking cigarettes and my mom was too. And we were up on the roof. Like, there was like a patio roof. And we were up there smoking a cigarette together, which is hilarious and very weird if you know both of us. And she goes, just be nice to him. And I was like, Mom, it would be one thing if he could just like leave and go home right now. But we have like 5 hours where we have to like just be us together. So you like, I can't even handle it. But anyway, that was just a sidebar. But I think that's a valid point.
Yeah.
Like, you have to like walk into a situation like, I wouldn't just unleash my whole entire personality right out the gate.
Yeah,
because that would make people really uncomfortable.
It was almost like, I mean, it's not an ideal place to meet people at all, but everyone was very kind and like exceptionally kind.
But it wasn't about you. Like, it was about them.
Yes.
And it was about like...
It was like, I'm bringing her to meet you. It was like, you know, I arrived separately.
I'm here to show my support and I'm here to...
It's also out of town, so there was like that distance, but yeah. So there's a lot, there is something to know, there's something to say about knowing the backstory, but there's also something to say about not knowing the backstory and having it be like sort of
new to you.
Yeah.
But also like, I mean, you could have like showed up to that funeral and like made it about you and like.
That is entirely not who I am.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is like, it's important to like recognize things for what they are and how you fit into that.
Absolutely.
That's the point.
Yeah. It's a, well, it's a key tool in like sales.
It's like figuring out. And comedy, but like,
absolutely. How people are reacting and like
and
that,
observing
that timing and that bouncing off and locking on and the whole
shit. But I would do that. Like, I think, you know, if that ever happens where I meet your people, it's like, that's, you might be like, why are you being so quiet? And I'd be like, I'm not. It's just, I'm trying to get a feel for what the landscape is.
Yeah. Well, and like figure out your role and also be like so respectful in those first meeting times.
And also just terrified.
Right. Well, we're going to link up. I mean, the holidays.
I made you laugh.
Yeah. The holidays can be such an intense time just because they're intense on their own.
Yeah.
And then meeting someone in that time can be, you know.
Do you think he's going to survive?
Oh, I think he's going to do really well. And it's,
I don't know. Let's put a wager on it.
I feel like you have.
If I go missing, now you know where.
You've come so far, too. And so you know your place and what you prefer and how you'll, you know, what to say when you need to stand up for yourself. And also, like, letting things go has become a skill that you've honed. So
thanks, friend.
Yeah. And so I feel like everything's going to be great. And I think you're going to be really pleasantly surprised.
And we didn't even make you talk that much. How do you feel? It's like I feel like you had like 8 lines of this whole podcast and then we talked most of it.
Well, you did. You did mention that, you know, you just had your first Halloween where you know, since you've been separated that, you know, you had to like deal with the emotions of not being with him on Halloween or on the day of.
Yeah, my ex and I have been split up since
a really long time.
Just long time. I'll let you do the math between July and June, but
we met after.
Yeah, we've been split up since beginning of June or so. So yeah, Halloween was the first holiday that really come around that I have any kind of emotional attachment to. I mean, there'd been like the 4th of July and Labor Day, but
nobody cares about those.
Yeah, like a significant holiday that was like maybe important to you as a kid or maybe has a special tradition that you really love.
Like Halloween.
Well, it's just, you know, as a parent, Halloween takes on, you know, a new ideal of, creating those memories with him. All the stuff that you're saying, you know, that's something that's important to do. And my ex and I had worked out somehow or the other basically what you did. You know, every other holiday and Halloween was the first holiday, you know, that we both would have wanted. So, I don't even remember how we came to the decision, but
yeah, how'd you work it out that she got?
I think she basically just said, I'm taking him Halloween and you can have him Thanksgiving, which was fine. I mean, you know, those, if you weigh those two holidays against each other, I mean, I would rather have Thanksgiving and then the short sightedness of it being that I lose Christmas then, because we haven't discussed if we're doing like you do with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day or whatever. But
you sort of like learn, like, you even like are forced into learning what's important to you in these moments, because you're like, whoa, like I didn't realize that this was so important to me, like a Thanksgiving meal, or like I really realized when I was forced into thinking about it, like, oh my gosh, Christmas morning would be so depressing without my
when
boys
do you
here,
think
so.
Not that you need to tell me this or anything, but like, do you think will you plan that out ahead of time? Christmas, you gonna talk
about, like if we do like Christmas Eve, like a I don't know.
That's
important.
Something
I honestly hadn't thought about until
that's
I heard
good.
Kate
See,
say
I think
because
also you're a guy, not that this is a thing. I think as women, like we anticipate a lot more stuff, like just in general.
Oh, for sure.
Like planning and like thinking about it. And so,
Check your gender norms at the door.
Oh man.
Yeah, that role is definitely
intact.
It's
a reality.
Like my mom and I are like, you know, in June or July, like after the birthdays, like April, May birthdays that we have in our family, like we're like, okay, let's plan out the whole fall now. Like all the September birthdays, all this, like those traditions in my family are definitely alive. Like the matriarchal planning gene.
Yep.
So yeah, I hope that you can and then maybe reflect on it in, you know, ahead of time. So then you don't have that, like, you know, I mean, I think it's not like marking your territory, but there is something to say, like, my mom is planning this thing we always do and I'd like to bring him to it. Like, and just sort of like letting your thoughts be known ahead of time is, you know,
important.
It's helpful because then she can also then take those and feel the feelings that she has around Christmas and come back with a counter offer or like, yeah, that sounds good. She might be grateful too. You know, that she didn't have to do the...
And instead of letting... Like, you have a stake in it, too.
Maybe not, yeah.
You know, like, instead of you're just reacting to what she wants, like, you can say what you want.
I'm not very good at that skill.
I know, being we're assertive. Working on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I am, too. And just, like, it's funny how it's situational. Like, certain situations, I'll be, like, so... But not assertive. In certain ones, I'll be like, rah.
Yeah, your job isn't to just accept everything that comes. I mean, you have stake in it, too.
Yeah, your job is to try and get as much as you need, as much of the time as you can.
Well, to bring it back to Halloween, after dealing with like the weird mix of emotions of, you know, him going out without me, yada, yada, getting all cute looking like his namesake Wolverine and getting all dressed up and stuff and missing out on all that, the trick or treating stuff, I did get the kind of the emotional, I don't know what the right word is.
Hangover? Or?
No, just desserts, maybe, that his mom called me later that night, like 8, 9 o'clock, whatever it was, after he was crashing from the sugar rush and was being a royal asshat.
Oh.
So I got to miss out on that. And it was kind of like, ha-ha.
Yeah,
just a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
as I'm trying to deal with those emotions.
Yeah, well, there's highs and lows with everything.
There are.
Yeah.
No, but I get that feeling and those little nuances that happen with like, kind of see what you did here, or those sort of things do occur. And they, even if you just like, I mean, the best thing you could do is just keep it to yourself. So then, but they do occur. And I think that part of our humanity is enhanced. And like, even knowing what we prefer is enhanced by acknowledging that we think those thoughts sometimes, and it's okay. As long as we don't like go out and say like, my ex is a, you know, is an idiot who let the kid eat too much, you know, like on Facebook or something, right? Like, I have that stuff all the time, those private thoughts. And like every once in a while, I'll share one of them. And it's sort of like our friend Katie has this sort of like routine thing where she's like, can I be small for a minute?
Yeah.
And she just like asks permission to.
New phone. Who dis? That's Katie. You met Katie.
You up? Yeah. You up? New phone. Who dis? Yeah. So.
Love her.
Well, good job feeling the feels.
Woohoo.
You survived.
And I'm sorry. That's that first year. Is so hard, and then it's like half as bad the second year.
But then when you have like a cool girlfriend, it's pretty awesome.
You know, it does make it good, better to have someone to bounce things
on
off
your
of.
Team.
Yeah, on your team.
Logan asked to call Jen the last time he was before I dropped him off on Monday. I want to call Jen, Dad. I want to call Jen.
Aww,
yeah, we Skype. It's cute.
That's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. You're good. You're a good influence.
I can buy the beer.
It just makes it awkward when you have to change your HBO Go password again.
Yeah, when we break up. Yeah.
Well, you give them like, there's like a grace period, right?
Yeah, I told you that. I changed the HBO Go this summer because I was like, listen, all these people I gave these passwords to, I was like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. So I totally changed it. And then I emailed Mary Mac and Tim Harmston because I just love them so much. So I was like, yo, I changed my password. Here's the new one. And so Corey is the first. Nice. Did it work? Did you get it to work?
I never tried again. I couldn't get it to work, though.
Wow. Well, I'll help you with your technology.
Well, that is sort of one of the modern, like,
yeah, I have a joke about it. How I tell, like, little kids, like, my friends who asked me to babysit their kids, they told me that the only way they can get their kids to go to bed now is by telling them if they don't go to bed right now, Jen Shaw is coming over. That's a true story. I was like, oh my God, what? They're like, yeah, it's the only way. And it's because like one time I was at their house and they wouldn't go to bed. So I told them I was going to go sleep in their bed and they got really pissed off about it now. So, but in the joke on stage, like I don't say that.
I use that.
They're like, what did you do to our kids? I'm like, I don't know. We did the usual stuff. Like, you know, and like, did you read stories at bedtime? I was like, yeah, but I don't really like to use books. I like to have like real talks, you know, like
yeah,
give some advice, things that would have been good for me to know as a youth.
Mm-hmm.
Things like never settle for a marquee cut, you know, like nobody wants that shit. Nobody does. Right?
Yeah. Or a pair.
I heard Kyle kind of laugh. That's good.
Or a pair cut.
Yeah. also,
give her a push, a cushion.
The monsters are not under your bed.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Like I was
Well, there is though. The real monster is the guy who tells you you're cute just to get your HBO Go password. That is a monster. They don't live under your bed.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was a joke on him, though, as you changed the password the day the new Game of Thrones season went to HBO Go?
I don't think he ever watched it.
Or whatever show.
Who knows? I just one day was like, I'm done. Ghoster had my HBO Go. So I was like, bye.
You should. Yeah for sure.
It was very, very, like, I was like, it's like when you unfriend someone on Facebook. I've never really unfriended anybody, but like.
Oh, I have.
I mean, I hide tons of people, but like, I just don't care. And it's sort of like that. It felt very like vindicated.
Good.
Yeah.
High five. High five.
Thank you.
Well, we have posted a bunch of links for you to help you navigate the holidays. The holidays, time to meet the family tips. Meet the parents, navigate the holiday dinner without the stress and surviving divorce during the holidays. So we're going to post those to the show notes. And let us know on Facebook if you have any more things to add, things that have made your situation easier, things that have made your situation harder, and any other stories you have. We'd love to hear from you. Should we do Tweets of the Week and then wrap up? Tweets of the Week. You go first.
Okay, mine is there's a guy in town named Drew Janda. I don't even know if that's how you say his last name. I think it is, but he's a comedian. I really like this tweet. It's, his Twitter handle is Drew Janda.
Oh, interesting.
Just like Jen Shaw, but different. My phone has a speakerphone function, so why wouldn't I use it while a waiter is trying to take my order? Like, it just made me laugh. Because I see people like in this situation all the time. I cannot handle it. Like, nobody wants to hear your goddamn phone conversation.
Oh my God. Today at Annalise Coffee on Central.
Oh my God. I've never been there yet.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And they're so friendly. And it's such a lovely ritual because they do every cup pour over.
Of course they do because they're lovely.
So nice. And so anyway, I posted a picture of their coffee on my Instagram this morning. Okay, so check that out. But there's... there was a guy who like couldn't find his headphones.
No, wait. Playing a video?
No, Skype call.
Stop.
It was the worst like layered situation I have ever encountered. And it was at Annalise, which is a typically...
Tiny, quiet.
It is quiet. It's a quiet place. It has super high ceilings. And I just went like... I seriously like shifted my entire... body and energy towards him.
No.
And I swear to God, he jumped in his seat when I completed my turn towards him. I swear he felt like a zap. I just went like this.
Seriously?
And he was just like, and then he was like, he found those fucking headphones.
Who stop at the bottom of an escalator. You just be a little more self-aware? Like, isn't that hard?
Right.
And then not like
the first 3 minutes of
work. It makes me crazy.
And it was all like the kind of, it wasn't like even, you know, like normal. It was all the kind of like clanky, can you hear me now stuff at the beginning of a Skype call?
No.
Oh my God. Awful.
No. I don't like
Never it. Never do that again.
I don't like it.
And then his phone sounds wrong. I'm not kidding. It was a fucking hot mess.
I don't even have, okay, my phone right now is like, there's no vibration, no ringer.
Good.
It's like completely silent all the time.
Amazing.
It's like the jarringness of like as many messages and notifications as I get. I could not handle it.
You're doing God's work, Jen.
I am.
You are.
Like,
this in the 30-hour day?
In office chair toilets. I have a real future. Thanks, Kyle. I love when I make Kyle laugh. That's like the best part.
I liked your tweet of the week though.
Thanks.
Mine is from Nora Borealis.
Oh, I know her.
So she, and I'm going to read it in her voice because I feel like that's the only way to read her tweets. Comments from women who are like, what about issue? I used a specific example to illustrate a broader point. Welcome to reading.
I love her voice. That's such a perfect Nora impression. Too.
Oh, thank you. I really wanted to nail it.
She's so great.
But I've never heard her, and I think you nailed it.
No, Nora is amazing.
Welcome to reading.
And you could hair and like her bright red sensible lip, you know, would just be like on point.
It's sort of halfway in between red and
pink.
Hot pink.
Yeah.
How does she do that?
I don't know. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. We love you, Nora.
Hopefully we can have her as a guest someday on our podcast.
We will. We're going to do a podcast coming up about grief, and I think we'll have Nora on for that. So those are tweets of the week. Let's wrap up and say thanks for joining us today.
Let's do it.
You're the best.
You're the best. You are. Corey, you're okay.
And thanks to Corey Martin
You can say something else.
In studio today.
Audible eye roll.
Eye roll emoji.
Are we cute?
Have you seen the eye roll emoji?
Whoa.
There's an eye roll emoji.
Is it like a GIF? It actually does an animation.
No, but it's got...
You don't have an iPhone, so you don't have the updated ones.
But it's just like...
Okay.
It's just like eyes thrown up.
This is going to be my new favorite emoji.
I know. I love the unicorn and I love the eye roll.
And the middle finger.
So thanks for joining us and adding your perspective to this show.
And all four listeners, you're welcome.
Yeah. Corey, do you think you'll still talk to me after Thanksgiving?
I wish you guys all the best. I will not let him answer that.
I won't break up with you till after the five-hour car ride home. Oh, so
same, boo. Same.
Right? And you're like singing out loud, like singing songs from the
80s. He'll be like, what's wrong? And I'll be like, I'm just really tired.
If I start to tell you I'm getting towards the end of Game of Thrones, you might start getting a little worried.
I'm just really tired.
Drop those hints. Drop them.
Anyway,
drop them, but not too early. Not too early. This is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate.
And this is Jen. You can find me on Twitter at jenshaw or on the internet at jenshaw.
Mm-hmm. And
it hasn't been updated lately, so don't really look at it.
This podcast you can find on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts. What?
Which are a cousin to podcasts.
They're know what the first road is. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, including
iTunes.
Yay. XOXO.
JK.